Hey, you're listening to the Smoke Meat Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Pittman. Smoke Meat's brought to you by Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Great place to go. You go in, you meet new friends, you hang out with old ones, you have a drink, you have a great time. Got some live entertainment down there, and they are one of my favorite places in the world to be. Remember, I goes to Joe's and so should you, because they believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. They're one of the reasons why this show is here today, and I love them. So make sure you go on down. That's Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Today, my guest is April Doyle of April in the Velvet Room. I had such a wonderful time talking to her. Such a great lady, such a great musician. You want to hear any of their stuff? All you got to do is type in April in the Velvet Room. Anywhere you get your music from, they are so wonderful. I am digging the sound, and you will too. So you go on ahead and check them out. Right now, we're going to get this beef kicked off here on Smoked Meat. Hey, so how you doing today, April?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Any better? I'd be twins. I am so happy you're on here today.
I'm glad to be here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I've been listening to some of your music. I'm digging it.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, you know, I've always been kind of an old school 80s hair band guy, and, you know, I'm that old man, so my playlist never changes. Mm-hmm. And since I started doing this show, you know, I've gotten to interview a lot of different musicians, and I don't want to interview somebody and not have listened to them. So I have gotten so much new music. My mind and my eyes are opening to so much new stuff now, and it's great.
Yeah, people are getting extra creative with their lives being changed the way everyone's lives have changed, you know?
Yeah.
People are, they're at home and they want to do stuff. So there, a lot of people have done some really cool recordings remotely. And then we did that also for I have a corporate show band that I do. It's kind of like our day job band called Hote Chili Productions. And we did one of Michael Jackson's songs, Heal the World. And everybody recorded that remotely, and it came out really amazing. That's on our Facebook page. And the lead singer, JP Castillo, actually goes out on the road with the Jacksons, and he sings all Michael's stuff. So it was a cool thing for him to do. Yeah, he's also opened up the last 12 shows on J-Lo's tour. So he's somebody to look up, JP Castillo. He's a Latino guy and just sings his tail off. And he's my musical director for my live shows. And he's been amazing to work with.
Oh, man. He sounds like he'd be a fun guest.
Yeah, he would be.
Oh, yeah. Hey, tell him, give him my number. Say, hey, you need to record with Fat Boy.
I will. Oh, yeah. You know, he's got so many interesting tales to tell, and he works with a lot of cool people, and he's all over the planet. So when he can, you know, when he can travel, he was doing stuff with the Costa Rican opera on stage, doing some of the Jackson stuff, and he can sing and dance, and there's nothing he can't do. So I'm thrilled to have him in my camp. And he led my show from the original, the April in the Velvet Room that we're primarily discussing. He led my show that we did right before all this virus madness happened. It was on March 8th at Vibrato, which is Herb Alpert's club up in Bel Air, California. And that was pretty cool. And we had some special guests come in and some dancers from Dancing with Stars, and like just to surprise the crowd, like they just came in and just danced to some of the tunes and with these amazing routines and kind of spun off. They came out and like shocked everybody and then disappeared. It was cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah, these are all friends of JP's, and it's always interesting. You never know who's going to be in the Velvet Room.
Yeah, I'm ready for all this pandemic stuff to be done, because, you know, I'm going to travel a little bit once all this is done, because I want to meet everybody I'm talking to.
And yeah, I know, it's so weird to just think that you just can't get in your car and go somewhere, or get in a plane and go somewhere. Just it's like you forget that this is going on, and then then it hits you, and then it's just, and I mean, nobody saw this coming.
Yeah.
Like, it's more, we weren't, I don't know how much we could have been prepared for it, but we were really not prepared for it. So when it hit, it just, you know, threw everybody upside down and everybody's life upside down. And, you know, all these, a lot of restaurants are closing in our area because, you know, even though they're great, they just can't sit there indefinitely without any, you know, customers coming in and pay rent.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just hitting so many people. So, yeah, this second round is just devastating.
Yeah, you know, and we were really, really lucky because, one, me and my wife are both, you know, in medicine. She runs a nursing home and I'm a paramedic, and we've had to work through this, which wasn't lucky, but at the same time, we haven't missed a paycheck.
Yeah. You know? What you do is a constant necessity.
Yeah, I'm recession proof.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm also a prepper. You know, I've never been one of those crazy preppers that, you know, I don't have 40,000 guns because the government's coming to get me. If the government wants to come get Brad Pittman, they're going to come get me no matter what I do. So, not prepping, but I prep for things like the hurricanes and, you know, this kind of thing. And when it hit, you know, we never went without anything because of that.
Yeah.
And the first weekend when everything started getting serious, you know, my wife took my daughter down to our house in Thompson where we are from. And we've still got a place down there. And she took her down there to take her senior pictures. And I took them to her work and came home because I wasn't going to be able to go down that weekend. I had to work some. And I stopped on at a little grocery store on the way back, and people were panic prepping. And, you know, wow. I just stopped to get a pack of hot dogs for supper. And I got those, but I watched everybody for like an hour. And it was ridiculous. I walked into Frozen Foods, and I stopped my buggy, and this woman and this guy have come running over there and almost slid into the case. And
wow.
She opened the door and was on the phone and said, "How many packs of pizza rolls do we need? They're almost out." And just panicking over pizza rolls. I'm like, oh, I've got to.
Well, people
go.
They've been blindsided, so they're fearful. They just don't know what else to expect, you know. People are afraid. It's
yeah.
And all the political stuff, you know, confusing everything even more.
Yeah.
Upsetting more people even more. It's just it's weird times.
Yeah.
And this year is a wash for everybody financially.
Oh, I'm ready for 2020 to be done. I'm waiting on Sharknado to hit.
Yeah. Did you just say Sharknado?
I said Sharknado, and my money's on August. Oh, yeah.
Wait, there's a new one?
No, there's going to be one with this year, I imagine.
Oh. I love me some Sharknado.
Oh,
I am, unfortunately, I will admit that I have sat there before more than once and watched all of them back to back. And I have nothing to say to get to make myself look any better after admitting that. But
everybody loves Sharknado. Nobody wants to admit it.
I know.
So anybody
totally,
that says
totally.
Anything can shut their cake hole.
Totally. Oh, that's funny.
But I'm waiting on it to happen because the way this year's going, it can happen.
I hear you. Oh, I hear you. Did you see the one with the shark with the five heads?
I have not.
There's a movie out with a five-headed shark. I have the shark. I'm crazy for sharks, especially great whites. So I just had to watch it, and it wasn't good. It didn't even have as much as Sharknado gives you, but.
Well, Sharknado gives a lot, so. You know, there is actually a guy who is making a movie now. It's a documentary type thing, and it's about, you know, when they were filming Jaws, and they've actually rebuilt the orca. They recreated it, the boat. And
oh, really?
Yes, and they're tracking some great whites in it, and they're talking to the people of Martha's Vineyard, who were there during the filming. They're not doing the normal thing about this is how it was filmed. They're talking to people that was there about how it affected them.
We needed some band shots. So I've always been in the the style makeup industry. I'm a makeup artist, etc. So I was setting everything up to get shots for the band, and we went with this photographer, Jeremiah Sullivan. Mm-hmm. Fabulous photographer. He was in San Diego, California. We went to his studio. Well, I look, we're setting everything up in there, and I look on the wall, and there's a picture of him underwater. Well, I didn't know it was him when I first saw it. And it's this guy swimming about 10 feet away from a huge great white. And I go, what's up with that? He goes, oh, that's me. I go, what? Jeremiah Sullivan is a, what's it called? When you're doing the, I just blanked on the name. When they study all the stuff about the ocean and the...
marine biologist.
Thank you. Marine biologist.
George Costanza comes in handy.
And he is the guy that developed the metal mesh suit that you wear. That so if a shark bites you, they don't take your arm off.
That is so cool.
There is actually this. And so when Shark Week, which I guess is either here or it's coming soon, mm-hmm. they show all this footage, like in Australia and also like down in Mexico, like the places where the sharks are the most. And also, I guess there's in Africa, huge great whites there. And so they show all this footage, and they upgrade this metal mesh suit that they wear when they go under, and they're swimming right with these like 18-foot great whites. I'm like, I don't know how you ever got the. How did you get the nerve to go and try that the first time? Like, what if it didn't work? What if it wasn't, you know, foolproof or whatever, and you're swimming next to a 20-foot great white?
Oh man, I couldn't imagine. You know, I love to dive. I haven't dove in a long time, but I love to dive. But I could not imagine diving with sharks.
No, but that's one of my on my bucket list is I want to go down in that cage with the snuba.
Oh yeah.
I don't like the scuba, but you can go down with the the snorkel. They call it snuba because you can go down deeper and sit in that cage and right in the middle of those sharks down in Mexico. They do it off the coast down in Mexico, and I guess it's like an overnight trip here from the Bay of San Diego, overnight trip. And then you stay down there for like 3 days, you go down like three or four times. And I would love to do that at least once.
Yeah, that would probably be okay. But just like out there free diving with them, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole other, like, how do you know they're not going to turn? You know, I mean, they're like crazy machines.
Yeah. I mean, they swim, eat, and poop. That's all they do. So
exactly.
Yeah, I'm good. But yeah, the cage would probably be pretty cool. I would dig that.
Yeah, that'd be amazing to be like right face to face with them, but not worry about them taking your arm off.
Yeah, with my luck, I'd be in the cage, and there'd be one with real bad buck teeth or something that could bite me through the cage. Oh yeah, you just pictured a buck tooth shark, didn't you? Yep. Yeah, did. You're welcome.
That's funny.
I told you this thing goes everywhere. But yeah, I mean, you got to have fun. That's the way it is. Everybody's too serious right now. We got to have fun with all this.
Yeah, that's it. I agree. I agree with you, but yet it's so many people are really upset, and it's like, how do you get them to lighten up when they're the whole security of their existence has been rattled, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's tough, you know, and you know, I deal with the people every day, and everybody's afraid, and they should be. I mean, this thing doesn't discriminate. It's an equal opportunity disease. It takes people who are young, old, healthy, sick. It don't care.
Yeah. The only thing is, what I don't really understand is more people have died from the flu than this. However, you know, there is antibiotics, etc., for flu type illnesses, and I guess it's just because we don't have any kind of vaccine yet.
Yeah, this thing's so new that they haven't, you know, it like I say, caught everybody off guard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I know it's never going to go away. I was telling my wife the other night, I wish it would just turn into like the flu, where we go every year, get our shot, and we're good.
Yeah.
And, you know, while it doesn't...
I think that's what they're... I mean, they say, I've heard, and who knows what the truth is, I've heard that there will be a vaccine by next year. They were saying next month, and then 2 months, and 3 months, and now they're saying next year. So I'm hoping that's going to happen, so that the fear can calm down and people can just get back to their lives.
Yeah. Well, I read yesterday that Oxford over in England has just passed stage one human trials on a vaccine, and it works supposedly.
Huh.
So knock wood. I'm hoping.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and it's funny. I'm not going to go either way on the anti-vax stance, whatever. My kids have had their shots, whatever. But I saw a meme a while ago, and it said, when an anti-vaxxer says they're going to fight with you next week, and it said, I ain't afraid of no ghost. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee this vaccine, a lot of people will take this thing.
Yeah.
I know I will. Like I say, I've figured out, even though it won't kill you, there are things in this world worse than death. And it's ugly. Oh, it's ugly.
It's put people in a different place. I mean, there is actually a positive side to some of it, where it's put people mentally.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
A lot of negative, but there is a lot of positive. It's forced everybody to slow down and smell the roses and talk to their family, spend time with their family. Cook together, just things that people might not have been doing for a long time, because we're all like hamsters on the wheel running 90 miles an hour all day, every day. That's just the way this culture is. And I've heard a lot of people say that they don't want to go back to how they were before, going 90 miles an hour, that they want to be a little slower, spend more time, taste the food, smell the air, look at the trees, just kind of, live a little, a little more in touch with their environment, their world, their family, etc.
Yeah, just be simpler.
Yeah, it's simpler, exactly.
Yeah. Well, my daughter and I are actually the two that caused this virus. We are, and I will explain. Me and my daughter caused the virus. She started it because she is a huge fan of K-pop. Not my music at all. I don't understand it, and whatever. It's hers. It's her thing. And I really love making her mad, because I asked her, I said, do you speak Korean? And she says, no. I said, how you know they're not singing about soup? And that really makes her mad.
Singing about soup?
Yeah, you don't know they're not singing a song about soup. And, but her favorite band in the world is BTS. And she somehow got on the early list and was able to finally get tickets to a BTS concert.
BTS what?
The concert. She finally got tickets.
Uh-huh.
And I've got a friend of mine who's a comic, and we're not like come over to the house for supper friends, but how you have people you work with that you don't see for a long time, and when you see them in a show or somewhere, y'all just bond and you pick up where you were.
Uh-huh.
And he sent me a couple of sides from a pilot that he's shooting and said, will you please audition for these two parts? I think that this one will be perfect for you, but I want you to do both of them. So I did, and that one part is me 100%. I was born for this part.
Mm-hmm.
And so I filmed them and I sent them in, and because of her tickets and me doing this, I'm pretty sure that I got the part, because everything shut down 3 days after I filmed it. So, yeah, we caused this. That's just the way our luck runs.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But I'm ready for it to be done, and it's funny. It's definitely going to change entertainment, live entertainment.
Yeah. It's, what I'm wondering is, I was looking the other day at some concert venues, and down in this area, a whole bunch of concerts are still scheduled to perform in August. I don't how realistic is that?
Yeah, you know, we've got rooms opening to do comedy here in Atlanta already.
Huh.
Yeah, a friend of mine saw Eddie Griffin a couple of weeks ago. And as bad as I want to get back on stage, I'm not doing it yet.
Yeah.
Because even though I want to get back on stage, I'm not killing anybody with my comedy.
Right. Well, I just wonder what's realistic. Like, when is it really going to happen? Because I think maybe they're just keeping it on the roster right now, and hopeful that things are going to be happening. But I don't know. San Diego has been one of the main offenders. They shut down 4th of July. They shut down all the beaches up and down the coast except for San Diego. Mm. So everybody headed down to San Diego. And then the next week, the counts of sick people went through the roof and the hospitals were packed. And so I don't know. I don't know. And then came the second shutdown. So I don't know.
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm so ready for it to be done. I'm ready to go back upstairs. I love my studio. This is my safe space. The way my show got its name is 4 years ago, I had two strokes. And the first one I didn't know I had, but the second one I was actually on the ambulance when I had it.
And you were on what?
I was on the ambulance when I had my second stroke. And I started stuttering real bad. And I just had a lot of other things go on. I got lucky. It didn't get me physically. I still move everything fine and do all that, but it scrambled my eggs really well.
Wow.
And sitting at home for 5 months afterwards, it brought up a lot of old PTSD from me because, it's not just one big event. It's little drops in the bucket. And the bucket got full. So I have days where things trigger me. I have 10 million triggers. I don't even know what they all are. And I'll start stuttering. That's one nightmare about doing this show. I'm scared when I get up in the morning sometimes that I'm going to stutter during the day and have to cancel everything. And that really sucks because I hate doing that. But
So it just comes, intermittently when you don't know. How long does it last when it happens?
It can go for 5 minutes to 5 days. I mean, it's just everything is so random. I have days where I do nothing but cry. It is horrible. Oh, it's a nightmare. But it is what it is.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
But I can come down here, and I've got, like the lights you've got in the Velvet Room, the nice stage lights. I've got those here. I've got a big truss in here. And I've got I've got the PAR lights. I've got my DMX board where I can control them, and I've got a couple of lasers, things like that. And
so spend your time being creative.
Yeah, and I'll sit down
here
sometimes.
Do you write your comedy routines, or do you just do it off the cuff?
A little bit of both. I'll write an outline and kind of go from there. One of my last shows I did, it was a really small place in Griffin, Georgia, named Uncle Bobby's Wings. And when I went in, I talked to the chef. I said, "What's your hottest wing?" And he told me the one on the menu. I said, "No, what's your hottest wing?" And his eyes lit up like he'd been waiting for this chance. He said, "I'll make it for you." I said, "Okay, about halfway through my show, bring it up to me." So he did, and it was very, very hot. But I did the second half of my show after eating this ridiculous hot wing. And I kind of cheated. I did a bit that I had done a million times before just in case. That way I wouldn't have to concentrate on something new and be in pain. But it went really good.
You're brave.
I figured out a long time ago, I've impressed the one that I really need to impress. I've been married 21 years. I don't care if I look like a jackass, if it makes somebody smile, it works.
No, that's the people that don't care and are willing to step out of the comfort zone like that are, that can be really good entertainment.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I figured out doing this show. It seems like I've got a lot of tragedy, but it just feels normal to me, which is weird. But my brother and I went for a long time without talking. We had a lot of issues, and he passed away last year. And, I did a show. It was just me, and he introduced me to the band Lynyrd Skynyrd, as not to the band itself, but, to the music when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the first song I ever heard was The Ballad of Curtis Lowe. And his favorite song was Freebird, so I couldn't afford to license them because it was the each one, I think, for my size audience then was about $300. And I don't make anything off this. I do it for fun. I don't monetize it. And I learned about fair use, so I did snippets of the song. I opened with one and closed with one and talked about them where everything was fine and legal. And I did 30 minutes talking about me and my brother. And that show, because I put myself out there, got so many hits.
Yeah.
Which wasn't really my intention.
It's because you were sharing your heart.
Yeah. And I've learned if you're real with people, it works. That's why I do this format instead of saying, so, April, tell me about your newest music. I can't do that. That's not me. You know, people don't want to hear that crap.
No, and they can tell when it's, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that you know, do that. And then I've talked to the other end of the spectrum, you know, people that are really real and they want to know, like, where it came from. And they want to know the nuts and bolts of how it happened and just, like, the reality of it, good and bad. And that's a very different, you can feel when they're coming from a different place and they just want to know, they want to just hear what's real, hear your heart, hear what you love, hear who you are, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and when I first started dealing with Eileen and Jimmy, which they have been so wonderful to me, the first interview I did was Fred Snyder from the B-52s.
But that was a trip.
Fred is such a nice guy. He is so awesome. And beforehand, I did my show prep, and I wrote 3 pages of notes. I mean, small writing, too. It was a lot of material. I'm like, I've got this. And we got on. I said, hey, and we talked for a second. And I asked him a question about the B-52s and about something in my notes. And his exact words were, that's 40 years worth of history. People can read about that. Let's talk about what's happening today. And I thought, oh, crap, I've just lost half my show. And it forced me to understand, okay, yeah, people have heard this 1,000 times. Hell, I know how they wrote Rock Lobster. I've seen where the Love Shack inspiration was. You know, I used to live in Athens. Everybody knows that. Let's go to what they don't know, and it works. You know, I've learned a lot. And when I interviewed Mickey Burns, it was so funny. He tested my editing, because when I edit these, I don't take anything out. You know, everything, the hiccups and everything are part of the show. It gives it flavor. And he had written a book called From the Projects to Profiles, because, you know, he does a big show called Profiles, which he's done interviews for 20-some-odd years. And he wrote a book with a lot of them in there. And I record a lot of stuff, and a lot of times I'm not able to get a book or read it beforehand. Well, we did the whole interview. It went great. And I said, man, I'd love to hear some more of these stories. And he mentioned his book. I said, yeah, I'm going to get that and read it. And he told me one more story. I got schooled on my own show. And he wasn't mean. It was beautiful. He said, I can't remember who it was. He said he was going to interview him, and they had sent him a copy of an interview they had done on a radio station. And the radio station said, okay, you know, hey, we've got this guy here, and we're happy to have him. And he said, so, have you read my book yet? And they said, no. And you just hear a click. And he said, you know, whenever you're going to interview somebody with a book or something like that, you need to respect him enough to read it. I mean, he was really, really nice, but scolding me in the nicest way possible at the same time. And that stuck with me.
Oh, I'll bet.
And I thought about cutting that out. And I'm like, no, you're human. You were a jackass. Take your medicine, fat boy.
I'm giving you a high five right now for taking your medicine.
Oh, man. But yeah.
No, that you were being real. You know, it was a real moment.
Yep. I learned from the master. So now, if I'm able to, I read. If I can't read, I'll go online and find everything I can about it, because it's important. It does respect my guest. And the music part's easy because I love music. It's a huge part of my life. Music's healing to me. And
I think it's gone to a whole different level with how people are listening and performing it in these difficult times.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of people, a lot of, you know, headliners have just gotten set up a camera and they're playing a guitar and singing. They're just like being seriously real, you know?
Yeah.
No bells and ringers, no making it sound prettier, no, just raw. You know, they're just, Michael Bolton sat down at the piano, was playing. Mm-hmm. James Taylor sat down, his guitar was playing. There are some really great videos out there, just raw and beautiful that people are putting out there. And then these compilation things, people are playing their parts and then sending it in, and someone's putting it all together. Those are cool too. There's a lot of great stuff that's come out.
Yeah.
From.
Yeah, you know, I remember 3 or 4 weeks ago, Eileen sent me a link and said, Scott Page is having a show. You need to go to it online. So, I mean, I didn't know who he was playing with at the time. And I said, oh, somebody sends you a Scott Page concert online. You click on that. And I clicked on it, and I saw it, and it was Scott playing sax, had Kenny Olson on guitar, Stephen Perkins on drums, Norwood Fisher on bass. I'm like, holy crap. And it was such a good show. And like I say, it was raw. It was them up there having fun.
That's great.
And, you know, I think that may be one of the ways music's going, because, you know, you're not going to be able to fill a arena right now.
Right, right.
So, but, you know, I think people are being more creative, and it's going to make people think outside the box, and we're going to get there.
Yeah, I don't know about those remote concerts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing the thing like kind of like almost like the old going to the movies.
Yeah. Yeah, the drive-in
concert. Yeah, like drive-in concert. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Brad Paisley just did one of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would love to see him live.
I'll bet that went over, but he's, you know, top of the food chain with his fan base and all that, so it probably went over. There's certain people that, you know, they can just burp and everyone will have a fit because of who they are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, my goal, I think it's an awesome goal. You know, right now, whenever I introduce myself as Brad Pittman, I always get, oh, like Brad Pitt. My goal is to make it where when Brad Pitt introduces himself, they say, oh, like Brad Pittman.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, I would love to interview him just because of the name.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Give him a shot at being famous. Oh, yeah. Help the little people. But no, I just love doing this because I've met so many interesting people. It's funny, you know, when I was younger, I worked radio and I got to meet a couple of people here and there, you know, doing concerts and stuff. And I never really fanboyed out like I could have, you know, and I still don't. I try not to anyway. But, you know, I'm almost 50 years old and all of a sudden on my wall here, I've got autographed pictures, you know, of people I've interviewed. And you know, they'll call me sometimes, I can call them and just talk. And that is so cool.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad that it didn't happen when I was younger, but I wished it had. But I'm happy about it. And I'm loving it because I don't look at this like I'm doing interviews. I'm making friends. And that's awesome for me because you can't have too many of them.
Yeah, well, the way you are with people being real like that is you're able to make friends. These people that are just kind of robotic, you know.
Yeah. I've got the radio
voice. Just sitting there reading everything off of a piece of paper and not showing, you know, real heart or real personality. You know, it's just a gig.
Yeah.
It's just a.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I could monetize this, and one day I may do it. I don't know. But I've got one sponsor, and it's a bar in Augusta, Georgia. It's called Joe's Underground, and it's literally in the basement of the Lamar Building down there on 8th and Broad. And it's my home club. I've performed a lot of comedy there, and when I go to Augusta, that's where I go to do it. But I mean, it's just a neat little place. And
that's cool.
When I decided to do this, I went to the owner. We were talking one night, and I said, you know, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. And I didn't get the words out of my mouth good. He said, what do you need? Never hesitated, never even questioned it. And he actually bought my first round of equipment.
That's great.
So I told him, I said, you're on every show that I do. Every show I do, I open it up. I say, hey, welcome to Smoke Meat. We're brought to you by Joe's Underground, and I do my whole thing about Joe's. And, you know, to me, that was just so great of them, and they deserve to be on every show that I do because of that.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, I'm fortunate, you know, like I say, the board, I was looking for another sponsor to do that way. And my wife just finally told me, said, buy the board, idiot. Yes, ma'am. And, I love this thing. I mean, it does everything but wipe your tail. It just simplifies things so much, and it sounds so much better.
Yeah, that's great.
But, yeah, I love it. I don't even have to have my laptop to record with it. It's recording straight to an SD. So I like that. It does multi-track. It has effects. The phone call. On my old board, I had to move all kinds of different wires and do a mix minus, and it was a pain. This, I plug my phone into it, and it does it all internally.
That's nice. Very nice.
But, yeah, anybody out there that's doing a podcast, $400. It's that Zoom L8. It's well spent. It is. Oh, I love this thing. But yes, and they're not even a sponsor. Maybe they'll send me $10,000 or $20,000. Who knows? I kind of doubt it.
It couldn't hurt to send them a information about who you are and what you're doing. You never know.
Yeah.
Especially since the kind of thing that you're doing is got more interest and more attention right now because of people. Are stuck home and want to find stuff that's interesting.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, more than a couple of weeks ago, I entered a contest with a company that makes my microphone called Rode out of Australia. And I had to record like a 2-minute episode, just something to make people happy. And I did. And they had first prize and second prize, which was an ungodly setup. And then they had the people's choice. Well, I didn't win. And I didn't get people's choice, but I did get an email that was awesome. Because I was in the first 1,000 entrants, I've got a hat on the way to me right now.
Right on.
Oh, yeah. And I'm digging it because I've got a skeleton right beside of me. He's wearing what color is it? Let me see. It's pink with silver, and it's a shiny beads bra, which, yes, I have worn on stage for breast cancer awareness. For a thing called Bra Dazzled. That was hilarious. And it's got my cut from whenever I was in a motorcycle club. And it's got my Elvis sunglasses on it. And a Rocky Kramer bracelet. But, he's going to wear my road hat when it gets here.
Well, that's great.
I love my skeleton. I haven't named him yet. I got to think of a good name for him. Everybody says Skelly, but everybody names a skeleton Skelly. You don't want it that. I don't want to name him Bones. I got to think of a good name.
Yeah, Bones is probably the second most common.
Yeah, he's got to be different. He's got panache and style. That's all there is to it. Oh, man. Well, April, tell everybody where we can find you at. This is the business part of the show.
Thank you. People can check out my, my day job, my corporate my major corporate deal, which is still comprised of all industry guys, is called Hot Chili Productions. You can see the videos and et cetera, pictures on Facebook, HAUTECHILE Productions. And then my personal project, April in the Velvet Room, which you checked out my song, La Belle Dame. Mm-hmm. That's a French song. That's my personal project. It's a little combination of some classic tunes and some current kind of a mix of jazz, R&B, a little bit of neo soul in there, and with some amazing players on there. And my videos and my links to pictures, clips, etc., are all down the bottom right of the Facebook page at April and the Velvet Room, all spelled out. And then my website is also www.aprilandthevelvetroom. It's got all my latest and greatest on there. And I've been so lucky to work with top of the food chain. So the stuff is great. Very proud of it.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, I tell you, you're welcome on here anytime. All you gotta do is call and say, hey, we need to talk, and I will hit record. That's not a problem.
Well, you are hilarious.
Well, thank you.
And I also appreciate you, what you do. on a lot of different levels. I mean, you're helping people in a lot of different ways, and I appreciate, I'm glad to have met you, and I know that I'm looking forward to listening to your comedy stuff and going on to your page.
Oh, you're going to love this. Got all my characters, and like I say, Murray the Clown, he is different, to say the least. My favorite one is Wayne, though. You'll see Wayne. Wayne is awesome.
Well, I look forward to seeing that, and I also hope that, you know, all this craziness goes by so we can all get back to our regular deal, and thank you for your time and letting people know about April in the Velvet Room.